At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We had some of our members of the audience saying, what's Fritzy going to do when it's 2-2-2-2-2?
Didn't think that through completely. In 20 days, it'll be the same exact twos across the board on the date.
What are your plans on that day? Because I know this is a big day.
I'm going to walk on eggshells and not go under ladders, avoid black hats, and be very careful. I'm one that doesn't like all the numbers lined up like that. It's not like, oh, I got to play that lottery number or something.
Yeah, Fritzy came in. He goes, you know, it's 2-2-22.
And I was excited about that.
I go, and?
Made it to the poll choices.
He's like, a numerology. I'm into numerology. I go, okay, what about when it's 2-2-2-2-2?
In less than 3 weeks from now, it'll be the same exact thing. Not a special day, I guess.
Right. Let's bring on Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk Live co-host. Mike, I'm sorry for that little...
What's he going to do when it's 2-22 this afternoon? That's what I want to know. 2-22 on 2-2-22.
His head's going to explode. Thanks for joining us. Walk us through this, being an attorney. What is the lawsuit about? Let's start there.
Well, the lawsuit is about specifically Brian Flores being fired by the Dolphins when he believes he shouldn't have been, and also not being hired by the Giants or being given a fair opportunity to compete for the Giants' job. More broadly, it is a referendum on the NFL's decades-long issue with racial bias in the hiring of coaches. Hiring of coaches, retention of coaches, compensation of coaches, black coaches, obviously, opportunities available for them as head coaches, then executives, black executives not becoming general managers, just the failures that have been hiding in plain sight for years. The failures that brought about the Rooney Rule 20 years ago was the threat of litigation, not actual litigation, from the late Johnny Cochran and Cyrus Mary that got the NFL to adopt the Rooney Rule. Here we are 20 years later, not much progress has been made. And the thing that will, I think, spur change for the NFL is the thing that they never thought they would have to deal with. Someone coming forward, trading his career, because as a practical matter, he goes into this knowing the risk he's taking. He's trading his career for the opportunity to be the one who effects meaningful, permanent change for the NFL.
suing the Broncos, the Giants, the NFL? Is that all? Is that separate or all? Is it collective civil lawsuit?
Well, the Dolphins are part of it as well, and it's an attack on the entire structure, the entire system. Now, he can specifically point to incidents with the Dolphins. He was held to a different standard. He was held to a higher standard. He was fired when he shouldn't have been. He's regarded as the angry black man who must be dealt with instead of the demanding head coach who is going to lead the team to victory. That's the perception. That may be the reality. That's what the case will try to prove. In Denver, he claims he had a sham interview in 2019. That's why they are in the lawsuit. And in New York, he contends that he had a sham interview last week, that they knew they were hiring Brian Daboll before they even brought him in for the interview, as evidenced, he believes, by an accidental text message that was sent by Bill Belichick, of all people, to Brian, just Brian Daboll instead of Brian Flores.
You know, I still go back to the Dolphins. If, you know, the Giants said that they hired the more qualified guy, Brian Daboll. And I go, how can you possibly say that? Flores has been a coach, head coach in the NFL. He worked for an owner who wanted him to lose, and he still won. like how are you telling me Daboll is more qualified?
That's, you know, that's a pretty good line on the resume. Had back-to-back winning seasons despite being employed by a guy who wanted me to lose. But you're right, Dan. Look, every time a coordinator becomes a head coach, there's a risk that is being taken that the coordinator who steps into a very different job won't be able to do the job. But Brian Flores, we've seen it. He's done it. He swept the Patriots in 2021, for crying out loud. So he's proven he can make the adjustment from coordinator to head coach. He's more qualified than Brian Daboll from that perspective. But the Dolphins thing is fascinating, too. And this needs to get proper attention and scrutiny. This idea that, and it's an allegation, I know, but that Stephen Ross offered Brian Flores $100,000 per loss in 2019, when I believe that Stephen Ross was trying to do a full season tank to get the number one pick in 2020. Originally wanted Tua, then he fell in love with Joe Burrow. How does the NFL not aggressively investigate that? And if any of it is even remotely true, immediately eject Stephen Ross from club oligarch?
Well, I don't know how you prove it, but to have, you know, a number like, he offered me money. He offered me $100,000. Did Flores corroborate that story with his assistant coaches or anybody else? Is there a paper trail there? I was told by a source this morning, Mike, it said, look, you know, there are repercussions with racism and the hiring practices. This could be bigger than that story because Ross could lose his team and the gambling allegation. He would be fixing games. I mean, I don't think it's hard to connect the dots of an owner saying to your coach, I want you to lose.
Yeah, right. It's fixing games, not for the purposes of fixing games, Tim Donaghy style. It's fixing games with a broader strategic objective in mind. We're going to take our lumps. We're going to be bad all of 2019, not just once we know we're not a playoff team. We know we're not a playoff team going in. Let's just go ahead and be as bad as we can to secure a prime position in the draft next year so I can finally get the next Dan Marino for this team. That was the plan, I believe, for Stephen Ross in 2019. And, you know, the difference doesn't matter. If you're trying to lose in an environment where the NFL has partnerships with seven different sports books and gambling is spreading everywhere, everyone has to be trying to win every game. And this is going to spark a broader conversation, I believe, about the connection between draft position and losing games late in the season when you're out of the playoffs. They need to find a way to take away the incentive to lose because it's there. It's there. And teams have done it from time to time. They do it adroitly. They cover their tracks. But the incentive is obvious to try to lose games once you know you're not in the playoffs. You get a better spot when it's time to pick the best players the next year.
I'm going to play something for you. If you've ever wanted to hear what $600,000 sounds like, this is what it sounds like. This is May of 2017 when I had Mark Cuban, the Mavericks owner, and he admitted to the Mavs tanking.
I mean, it's like, look, you know, we all, you know, the Mavs, once we were eliminated from the playoffs, we did everything possible to lose games. And so if we did it up front, if we knew that this was a rebuild season and we just did it up front, then, you know, you kind of know what kind of team you have. And if you could get eliminated early and then start building momentum, you can finish, you know, your season 30-10 and end up with a boatload of ping pong balls.
How did you tank? How do you
play all your young players?
Okay, that was it. But there is it you send out a memo or you just say
no, because the guys, once a guy walks on the court, they're going to play their heart out, particularly the young guys, because they have something to prove. So, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith, Yogi Ferrell, there's nothing you could say or do to them to say don't play hard or try to lose this game. That wouldn't be right, and I don't think any NBA team would ever do that. But when you have Saleh Mesri shooting threes,
that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
That cost him $600,000.
He violated the first rule of Tank Club. Don't talk about Tank Club. Right? But the incentive is there.
But until he didn't tell his coach to.
Well, no, but this is how it works. You make the decision as the owner of the team. You want to evaluate the young players. You want to see how the third string quarterback does. I thought that's what the Texans were doing late in the season when they decided to go with Davis Mills over Tyrod Taylor. They won some games, though. It doesn't always work out. But the incentive is there. The system creates the incentive. The draft, the way they do the draft, creates the incentive. And the NFL never wants to acknowledge the obvious connection between losing once you're done, like Mark Cuban said, and rising in the opportunity to get the potentially generational talent that transforms your team. It's obvious. And, you know, I've been kicking around some ideas on what to do about it. There's no easy solution. The easiest solution is to get rid of the draft. They're never going to do that. But there's got to be a way to remove the incentive to lose, because the incentive to lose is there when you look at the draft order and you look at how much gets given up. Look at what the 49ers gave up to go from 12-3 last year. Two more first round picks and a third round pick. Every year, significant assets are surrendered to go a little bit higher. Hey, if we just would have lost this game or this game, Chase Young would be a Giant. If the Giants had lost to Washington week 17 of the 2019 season. So there's a real benefit to it, and they just need to remove the incentive. And this is how it's biting them in the butt, and it'll be interesting to see whether they take it seriously and investigate it or look the other way. Dan, I think they're going to brush it under the rug. I think they've got too much that can happen to the NFL collectively. Congress on the scene, potentially. They're going to rally around Stephen Ross, and they're going to brush this under the rug. I hope I'm wrong. I never have hoped that I am more wrong than I am right now about it. I hope they take it seriously. My guess is they can't, because the ramifications are too significant.
He's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk Live co-host. Why isn't there a union for coaches in the NFL?
Well, because coaches don't want to trade their careers for signing a union card. And with only 32 teams and so many more qualified individuals who could come in and become, even if they're not good coaches right out of the gates, they could grow into the job. Supply outweighs demand. The coaches would never come together and create the union. It also becomes complicated when you become a head coach, because head coach is management. I think the union would consist of assistant coaches. Then you'd exit the union when you become a head coach. But that's part of the problem. It's part of the problem. Talk to Sean Payton about Bountygate, and it becomes crystal clear the difference between having a union which fought and beat back all of the player suspensions and being a coach and having no rights. The commissioner suspended you. Well, I want to appeal it. Okay, you appeal it to the commissioner. Appeal denied. See you next year.
Jim Harbaugh, I don't think, gets on that plane unless when he gets off, he's expected to be the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. What do you think?
He wants to come back to the NFL. He wants to win a Super Bowl. He has to deal with the fact that his brother John won the one that Jim thought he was going to win in 2012. And he's got an ally there in the new general manager, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. Whatever happened in San Francisco, however it went sideways between Jim Harbaugh and former 49ers general manager Trent Baalke, however ownership was involved in the dysfunction, Adofo-Mensah was there for the last 2 years of Harbaugh's time there. And whatever he saw, whatever he witnessed, whatever he observed and experienced, put Harbaugh at the top of his list of coaches to hire when he becomes a general manager. That tells you something. And I think the Vikings are a little bit leery about Harbaugh. There's a sense that maybe he's got to win the job today in the interview. And, you know, you just got to ask yourself, do you want a guy that was 44-19-1 in four seasons? Do you want a guy that took a team that was 6-10 with no offseason program because of the lockout in 2011 and took his team to the brink of the Super Bowl? But for a couple of muff punts by Kyle Williams, they would have been in the Super Bowl that year. It was an amazing turnaround. That's what the Wolves have to ask themselves. Do we want to roll the dice on a guy who has shown he can do it? Or do we want to roll the dice on a guy who has never even had a head coaching job before?
I didn't even ask you about Tom Brady. Do you think Tom left out acknowledging the Patriots on purpose?
There is no way that that multi-page statement was something he thumbed on his iPhone sitting on the toilet yesterday morning. That thing was written and rewritten and revised and vetted, and everything in there was there for a reason. Everything not in there was not in there for a reason. I think it was deliberate. Whatever the reason, I don't know. You know, people think he's going to show up at Gillette Stadium and do a one-day contract, and he'll do his Patriots victory lap then. Who knows? But it really was glaring to see pretty much everyone in the Buccaneers organization thanked and no mention of the Patriots whatsoever.
You okay with the Washington Commanders?
I'm okay with the fact that the name isn't what it used to be. And I was fine with Washington football team.
Yeah,
I don't like the uniforms, but you know, I like the old school uniforms. I love it when the Raiders and the Cowboys play, when the Browns and the Packers play. The Nikeification of the NFL continues, and we have a new set of jerseys that can be purchased for $199.99 at NFLShop.com. Please buy them now, and buy them quickly, because in 2 years they'll be changing again.
Good stuff. Thank you, Mike. Great to talk
good
to you.
Good talking to you, Dan.
All right.
See you, pal.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cameron Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going
to
pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Right, Todd?
Exactly.
Yeah.
2-2-22.
Like, Todd is really, like, unnerved by this. You think something bad is going to happen because it's 2-2-2-2.
Yeah, isn't there something about 11-11? Like, there's some things with numbers. There's 3 sixes. There's all kinds of stuff with numbers being in a row that's bad.
So. It's MBUSA.com, Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. And then Todd goes, I don't know if I'm going to stop at Burger King on the way home. Something bad could happen.
Because they have like the 2-for-6 special or something. You get the original chicken and the Whopper. So anything with a 2 in it, I'm going to avoid. As best I can, as we all know.
And then the old take a number 2. Let's bring in Seton O'Connor, who joins us from the road. Well, where are you right now, Seton?
So I'm in Memphis. Guess where I am?
You're at Graceland.
Let's go!
Nice.
Heck yeah, dude.
I like that.
Yeah, man. I was actually just walking through there. I just got a little tour. It is so rad. It's an awesome place.
Now, what's the coolest thing you saw at Graceland?
Okay, I'll give you 2 things.
All right.
Down in the basement, Elvis has, he's got sort of the original man cave.
Now that's the jungle room, isn't it?
No, so the jungle room is a different room, which I just walked through too, which is really rad.
Okay.
But he's got this room down in the basement where, so Elvis is a huge football fan, right? And he wanted to watch all the games at one time. And since there was 3 networks at the time, he had 3 TVs put into the wall so he could watch football because he was just like a rabid football fan. And there's like an awesome couch and a bar in there and a fireplace and like mirrors all over the wall and the ceiling and stuff. It's really cool place.
And you stayed in Memphis last night.
Yeah. We stayed in Memphis last night. And I met this dude who, knows Robert Plant.
Oh,
Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, Dan would be dying right now if he was hearing these stories. And he was like, oh yeah, no. That's because I was telling him the story about the Peabody.
Yes.
And that you can figure out how to, how do I go start a conversation with this dude? And the guy that I was talking to said that Robert Plant is a huge sports fan. And like just super down to earth, super easy, like, oh yeah, he'll talk your ear off about like football or soccer or whatever, that he comes down here all the time to Memphis.
Darn. And good restaurant last night in Memphis?
Blue City Cafe, probably, yeah, on Beale. It was probably the best ribs I've ever had in my entire life. They were phenomenal. Fell right off the bone there. Unbelievable. And a lot of people say that they're probably the best ribs in Memphis.
What's the plan for you and the French kid today?
Plan today, we're going to wrap up here and then head down to, right now it's not raining, which is nice. We're going to try and beat the weather and head down to Houston.
Oh, so wait, that's a different route.
That is a different route. So I think we're going to try to go, Oklahoma City is going to get slammed with the storm.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to go a little further south to try and stay with either like the rain or the less bad side of the storm. So I think we're going to take a little bit more of a roundabout route to get to LA. It's not the most direct route, but it feels like maybe the smartest route.
Paulie, do you have the mileage Memphis to Houston?
Of course I do, Dan. I got 568 miles today.
Have you and the French kid had an argument yet?
Have we had an argument yet? No. It's we've been doing really well, actually.
Good.
There are some stretches of quiet for sure, which I'm very comfortable sitting in the quiet and not talking to the only other person there. But no, we've been doing good. I think today might be the test, you know, sort of in the middle where we just did all that, those miles, and now we got to go all the way out there. Today could be a good test. And I think if we're going through Houston, that means we have to go through West Texas. And I don't know that there's a lot out in West Texas. So that sort of, to wrap things up, heading over to Phoenix might be a little interesting.
All right. Well, keep us up to date. Safe travels.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
That's Seton O'Connor with the French Kid in Memphis. Elvis. Yeah, I always heard of the Jungle Room. Didn't Mark Cohen, Walking in Memphis, talk about the Jungle Room?
So he'll be going through Little Rock, then through by Shreveport, Louisiana, down through Houston, Texas.
All right. Andrew in Washington. Hi, Andrew. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call again.
Sure.
What's on my mind this morning? Two things. I kind of had a question with this Brian Flores lawsuit that came out. You've mentioned it. Do you think that the hiring practices and the Rooney Rule or the possible tanking allegations, I'd like to see what your thoughts are on which one will hold more weight at the end of this lawsuit. Two other comments. First of all, are his lawyers as good as Tom Brady's cease and desist lawyers? Are they up to that level? And one more thing for Fritzy. Fritzy's having a great week. He's gotten guests on in a pinch. And I just hope that he's not an NCAA basketball team peaking before the tournament, which is Super Bowl week next week, and then having a letdown and losing in the first round. So, Fritzy, don't get everything this week. Save some for next week.
I won't let you down.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. They're separate, but I feels like if there's fixing games or telling your saying incentivizing your coach to lose games, you know, that's where you lose your team. And the amount of money, you know, the billions of dollars with gambling, and the NFL's all in with gambling. Like, you cannot have this. You might not want to play your best players at the end of a season, or you may want to see, hey, let's see what the younger guys can do. I understand that. But this is fixing a game by telling your coach to lose from the owner. If that's true, this isn't play different players. This is, you know, I need you to lose these games because he wanted Joe Burrow. And you put a number on it, too. Keep in mind, Sean Payton lost $8 million in salary because his defensive coordinator had a bounty out on players. They were trying to win. Sean was, you know, it was on his watch. So he got suspended for a year. That's not tanking. Sean in Kansas. Hi, Sean. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call again.
Sure.
Happy Groundhog Day. I hope Fritzy's not freaking out and having a Groundhog Day experience himself. I just wanted to say, before Sunday's game, I thought Eric Bieniemy should get a job as a head coach. But I think now, after watching that meltdown, whether it was his play calling or Andy, one of them should have looked at the other one, told them it was a three-man rush, started running the ball again. And I think any GM or owner is going to see that, you know, if they can't even see that, if they can't even fix that in the second half, why would I want him coaching my team for a whole year? But now that Brian Flores brought this lawsuit, I wonder if owners might take a second look at him just to maybe not look racist. Your thoughts?
Thank you, Sean. Well, I did wonder in the second half that the Bengals were rushing three, had a spy on Mahomes, and you didn't take what they were giving you. I just didn't understand it. But, you know, it's always – Andy Reid gets credit when they do something well, when the offense is clicking. But here the offense isn't clicking, and now we're going to bring in Eric Bieniemy. Like, that's not fair to him. Andy Reid's supposed to be the genius there. And he's had other assistants get head coaching jobs, and they weren't calling the plays either. Matt Nagy did it. I'm not sure why Eric Bieniemy is still waiting to become a head coach. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in Season 1, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with Season 2 because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for Season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to Season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's bring in our good buddy, Steve Palazzolo, the co-host of Pro Football Focus NFL podcast. Now that Brady has announced his retirement, how do you put his numbers into perspective here or quantify them?
Yeah, I mean, our data at PFF only goes back to 2006, so we missed the first few seasons of Brady's career. But since 2006, you know, we've graded every player on every play in the NFL. He's the number one graded quarterback during that time. He's number one in our wins above replacement metric by far. That's the same metric. He was number one this past year. We had him as the most valuable player in the NFL. And I was actually, I tweeted that out yesterday, maybe a little confusing the way I tweeted it, but he's the most valuable player, you know, since the start of 2021, since the start of 2020, since the start of 2018, the Patrick Mahomes era, So I think that's one way to quantify Brady's greatness. No matter which year you pick, he's the most valuable player since that point using our WAR metric, despite having Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees and Peyton Manning and all the other great quarterbacks that have come and gone or are still around in the NFL right now. So,
but what Brady's do you factor been, in on yeah. naming him MVP?
Yeah, so for us, it's evaluating every single play, right? So we go through each play, and if Brady makes a great throw and it's dropped, we're going to give him credit for that properly, right? So it's isolating his play from everyone else's. And when you do that back to 2006, he's our highest graded. He's our most valuable. And then in this particular season, where I think Aaron Rodgers probably ends up winning the MVP, we did have Brady graded higher and more valuable because a lot of those hidden plays went Brady's way, where Aaron Rodgers had a little bit more luck in those, in a few other areas where Brady didn't, particularly say like interceptions.
Brady's best year and worst year were what?
Yeah, it's tough to argue with 2007 as his best year. I honestly think 2016 was his best year. You know, so he's coming off the Deflategate deal. As far as throwing the football and pure PFF grade, that was his best year from start to finish. They end up winning the Super Bowl, of course, against the Falcons. Worst year, 2013, 2019, the 2 years where I think if you look back at, you know, the weapons and what was happening in New England at that time, it was also the two worst supporting casts that Brady's had. But I think 2013 and 2019 are the 2 years that stand out that clearly were not in line with the rest of Brady's career.
What quarterbacks are close to him in history?
I mean, just within the era, I think it was pretty clear. It was Brady, Peyton, Brees, and Rodgers as that elite tier. But it is fascinating that Brady's even been able to, you know, separate himself from that group. Of course, from a winning standpoint, you know, he was always compared to Joe Montana, his idol. There was a lot of elements to their game that was similar, right? The underdog mentality and always finding a way to win and all the Super Bowls and all that stuff. So, you know, I think Brady clearly established himself as the best quarterback of all time. But when you go back and if you're even trying to debate, you're looking at a Peyton Manning, a Joe Montana, and then within the era, you know, adding Rodgers and Brees to that.
I was also looking back at 2019. I think he threw 24 touchdown passes for New England. They were moving on. He was moving on. Like, did New England do the right thing statistically of moving on from Brady, looking at what he did that season?
Yeah, it's a tough one because I don't think their roster was just absolutely in shambles. They were coming off of three horrible years drafting. You know, there's QB stats are mostly driven by the QB, but very strongly driven by the supporting cast as well, by how many, you know, good receivers you have that get open. And obviously Brady benefited a little bit from going to Tampa Bay with great guys to throw to. But it's interesting because our numbers weren't as bad as, say, the raw numbers, right? So a lot of QB metrics had him 25th or 20th in the league that particular year. We had him 12th. So we were saying, look, he's still playing way better than the stats would show. So if you do put him into a better situation, he could perform. And I don't even think New England was equipped to build that right situation for him in 2020, given, you know, their cap limitations and, you know, the fact that they hadn't drafted well in a few years.
How would you quantify Stafford's years in Detroit? Like, how good a quarterback was he for a bad team?
Yeah, I always describe Stafford as a guy, if you watch him the right three games, he looks incredible. I mean, there's three games a year, right, that he just looks unbelievable. And he's like, he's streaky too. He's feeling it. And you saw this a little bit this year. He's no look passes and he's just making incredible plays, but the consistency was never there. My early prediction with him coming to the Rams is that I think McVay would get the best out of him, maybe have a career year. He's just getting to that career year from a PFF grade standpoint. He just jumped over his career mark over these last few games, but the production is through the roof. So I think Stafford's always been a good quarterback. I've always thought of him as the 10th or 11th best quarterback of his era here, which has been a pretty good, you know, era of quarterbacks, which is a good quarterback, right? And again, if you put him in the right situation, which apparently he is right now with the Rams, you can get a lot of production out of him.
I'll ask you the same question I asked Carson Palmer. You can have Matthew Stafford or Joe Burrow. One game.
I think, yeah. So one game's interesting because I think Stafford's ceiling, like that high end, is incredible. I do think Burrow's a better quarterback overall, right? The youth factor and what he's going to be going forward. The one game element of it, though, Stafford can do some special stuff, right? You also saw him throw it to a safety there, but Burrow made those. He had a couple bad decisions in the fourth quarter as well. So One game, it's closer, but overall, I'll take Joe Burrow. You know, I don't want to overuse the it factor thing, but but there's an element to this. Right? Going back to Brady really quick, right? There are still Brady detractors out there. There's a few of them, right, who are like, oh, he had a bad game here. He had a bad game there. We just saw Patrick Mahomes have a bad game, right? There are bad games out there, but what made Brady special is he always bounced back, whether within the game, the next season, he always bounced back. And I think Burrow has elements of that. Even when things aren't going great, you have that feeling Joe Burrow is going to bounce back. So give me Burrow.
How did you grade Jimmy Garoppolo this year?
It was not his finest season. He started off horrible. He was good.
Has
in
he
the
had
middle.
A finest season?
Yeah, you know, 2017, the six games that he played with the 49ers after he came over was probably the best stretch of play in his career. The funny thing about 2019, when they went to the Super Bowl, I said we had Brady 12th that year. Garoppolo was 13th in our grading that year, but he had that Kyle Shanahan system. So the stats were really good, plus the playmakers that they've had there. So Garoppolo's been a top half of the NFL quarterback, and I think he was, say, week 7 through 18 or whatever during the regular season. But, yeah, this playoff run was not good. If it did coincide with his thumb injury, it did look like he was having trouble with his accuracy. Maybe that was a factor, but Garoppolo was a mid-tier at best type of quarterback with high-end production in part because of that system.
Who were the worst quarterbacks grade-wise this year?
It was all the rookies. You know, Zach Wilson really struggled and Trevor Lawrence really struggled. Justin Fields came out of it a little bit toward the end, but those were the bottom end guys. Baker Mayfield was down there among the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL. So
Mac Jones?
No, not Mac, not all the rookies. Mac was good. Mac was mid-tier to high end as far as he didn't have as much on his plate as far as what the Patriots asked him to do in most games. But he was accurate, generally a good decision maker. Mac Jones, by far the best of the rookies. But the other high-end rookies, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, those guys struggled a bit.
Do you simulate the Super Bowl results at Pro Football Focus?
I haven't. We do have an analytics team that works through that. I'm not sure what their results are at the moment. But we do have stuff we've worked on.
Great to talk to you again, Steve. Thank you for joining us.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Steve Palazzolo, co-host of Pro Football Focus NFL podcast. Yeah, we thought it would be interesting just to talk to him since they grade every single play. And that I don't think it was close for MVP, that Brady was the best quarterback this year. And then walking away. Yeah, Paul.
I kind of know the answer to this, but you grew up, Jim Brown left football early. Now, early.
Nine seasons.
He was the best player in football still, correct?
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's going to lead football as maybe first or second for the MVP, and according to the stats, the best quarterback in football. I can't think of too many athletes who've left the sport as the best. Barry Sanders is right there.
Yeah, Barry's going to join us in Los Angeles. But I thought Barry, when he retired, was still the best running back in football. Calvin Johnson, you could make a case, is the best wide receiver in football when he retired. I know we're leaving out some people, but just off the top of my head, Peyton Manning wasn't, Montana wasn't, Favre wasn't. You know, you might have a case where Aaron Rodgers will be the best quarterback in football when he decides to retire. Yeah, Paul.
When Michael Jordan left the Bulls the second time, he was still right up there scoring assists, all the numbers. When Jerry Krause decided to do the rebuild a year early, still right there.
He was, but then he came back to play for Washington. But when we thought he was retiring, then at the time he was still the best player in basketball. Andrew Luck had gotten up to a pretty high level when he decided to walk away. I'm sure we're leaving out a lot of people. Sandy Koufax was at an extremely high level when he decided to retire. He may have won 27 games that year, but his shoulder, his arm was deteriorating. Bjorn Borg. Borg was 26 when he retired. And I think he had just won Wimbledon. Paul.
I'm looking at Sandy Koufax's numbers. He retired at the age of 30, 27-9 with a 1.73 ERA. Those are both career bests.
Oh,
so
man.
He had the best season of his career. He won both the Cy Young and finished second in the MVP. and retired. He was clearly the best pitcher in baseball, and he had his best season of his career.
Let me get a couple of phone calls. People have been on hold for a while. Ryan in Iowa. Ryan, thanks for holding. What do you have for us this morning?
Aloha, Dan. I've got a stat of the day for Joe Burrow. I was wondering if I could do the classic music.
Okay. Marvin, hit stat of the day music. What's the classic one? Just the one we always use?
Yeah, the hard rock one.
Oh, okay. All right. And 3, 2, 1. Got a stat of the day over there, Marv? Turn up the volume.
Joe Burrow could become the third quarterback on Super Bowl Sunday to win a national championship and a Super Bowl in their career. The two other quarterbacks to do that are Joe Namath and Joe Montana, both also named Joe.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. That's your stat of the day. Nick in Virginia. Nick's been on hold. What's on your mind today, Nick?
Hey, Dan. First time, long time, 5'9", 170. All right. So I'm just calling in to say Fritzy has nothing to worry about with anything going bad because it already did in Virginia and Washington and Maryland with Danny Boy finding a way to unify the fans against him with a horrible day of putting out the Washington Commanders and their wonderful new jerseys, making us look like the AAF team that was the Commanders. And I don't know, if we bring in Jimmy G, it'll complete the trifecta of disaster in Washington, and I may be looking for a new team. So go Commies, and thank you, DP.
All right. Thank you. That's Nick in Virginia. Daniel Snyder did not have a bad day yesterday or today. In comparison to other people in the NFL, he didn't have a bad day. You know, you rolled out the jerseys. It feels like, you know, we say every year, well, this is the year. This is the year Daniel Snyder has to sell the team. All right. He just transfers the team over to his wife. You know, they hired minorities in the front office. You know, they got new uniforms there. They hired a coach that people like in Ron Rivera. They dropped the nickname, went Washington football team. All right. So the worst thing is, I don't like the jerseys and Commanders. All right. If you're Daniel Snyder, that's not a loss. That's not a bad day for him. Let's put it that way. Jeff in L.A. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind today?
What's up, DP?
Hey, bud.
Hey, I got something for you guys to get the seat in. Sorry I meant to get this out earlier to him. But there is a destination he has to hit on the way back from Vegas to L.A.
Okay.
And it's the only place he can get this in the world. Okay? So there's another SoCal staple besides In-N-Out called Del Taco. I'm sure Fritz's probably been there. Sorry, Fritz. But so it originated in Barstow, California, okay? So that is literally the only place you can get Barstow-style Del Taco. It is a staple after you've had a couple pops in Vegas the night before to stop there on the way home, get Barstow-style Del Taco, and then drive the rest of the way back to OC or L.A. So,
all right. I'll pass that on, Jeff. Thank you. A lot of food suggestions. Seton had, I think he said, the best ribs he's ever had in his life in Memphis. Although, I could understand that. Memphis, known for their ribs. Now he's going to Houston. I don't know if you go back-to-back ribs, although they're different style ribs.
Sure.
But sound like Seton was open to the opportunity of going back-to-back ribs. Russ in Nevada joins us. Hi, Russ. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, just got a little suggestion. You guys have been bantering around some names for Joe Burrow, and there's lots of Joes on that team. So what about Joe Time?
Joe Time? All right. I'm okay with that. I like the one that they had, Joe Burr. B-R-R-R-R-R. Joe Burr. Just call him Burr. What did we come up with? Oh, Joe Ohio. Yeah, we've got our T-shirt, Joe Ohio. I'm all right with that one. Kyle in Colorado. Hey, Kyle.
Dan, Danettes.
Hey, bud.
6 foot, a vigorous 160. Thank you. Hey, Fritzy, I got a better poll question for you here, man.
Go for it.
Maybe for hour three. What is the most impactful game-fixing scandal in the history of sports? Is it A, the Boston College point shaving scandal of 78-79, Pete Rose's betting scandal of 89, Tim Donaghy's 2007 betting scandal, or the Stephen Ross game-fixing? Thanks, back row.
All right. Thank you, Kyle. Well, we don't know about Stephen Ross right now. Now, it's alleged. You know, this is according to Brian Flores. So I don't know that. If Flores was going to incentivize his head coach to lose games, that's going to trump them all. Like, Pete was betting, and Pete was not a good gambler, and Pete admitted to me, the first time he ever admitted this when I was at ESPN, he said he bet on the Reds to win every game. And people sided with Pete and go, oh, well, I mean, that's what you want. You want your manager to bet on your team. Well, Pete could manipulate the lineup, and, you know, he would. There were certain guys that certain pitchers he didn't want to bet on. Or he wouldn't bet when there's certain pitchers who were going to start for him. And then all of a sudden, you're using a player. You might go to John Franco 3 nights in a row because you have money bet. Let's put it this way. Pete lost. So he, whatever he was doing, if he was trying to put the best lineup out there, he didn't do a good job because he lost money. Not a good gambler. But, you know, just because you bet on your team to win doesn't mean that you can't manipulate the lineup. And what about the nights that you're not betting on them to win? And if I'm a bookie, Pete is not betting on his team tonight, then all of a sudden you're going, hey, might want to drop something on, the Giants tonight against the Reds. But all you're looking for is any kind of inside information. But if Stephen Ross was saying to his coach, I need you to lose because I want to get that quarterback in the draft. And if Brian Flores said to his assistant coaches, or maybe he confided in somebody else, like, what do I do here? My owner wants me to lose. If this proves to be true, you are, it's not just tanking. You are fixing games. You're fixing games. That's when you lose your team. And, you know, the repercussions that you could have. And now you have the gambling aspect here. Boy, if I'm the commissioner, I got to talk to Stephen Ross. You know, Stephen, help me. Help me understand this. I'm going to ask you one time. Now, here's the other thing, as the source told me during commercial break. Commissioner works for the owners, not the other way around. I said, well, in a situation like this, I would think, as commissioner, I got to police the whole sport for the other owners. Yeah, Paul.
But it would be very hypocritical if the commissioner of the league asked for players' phones and records.
Oh, I know.
When they have an incident. I want your phone. Cool. Same thing with the owner. I want your phone. I want your emails to see, did anyone ever know about you guys losing games? Was ever a financial deal agreed upon?
I said this at the time when they was like, oh, you know, Brady won't turn over his phone. I wouldn't turn over my phone. Not to the commissioner. I wouldn't do that. Hey, let me see your phone. I'll give you my phone. How's that? Little tradesies here. Little quid pro quo. Is he going to ask Stephen Ross for his phone? I would. Billionaires don't give up their phones. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. He's the new Raiders head coach, Josh McDaniels, of course, many years as the Patriots offensive coordinator and won 6 Super Bowls with that team. Nice hoodie you got there with your Raiders gear. What'd you do with all your Patriot gear?
We haven't done anything with it yet. I haven't been back home since I came out Thursday, and I'm sure we'll find good use for it.
You in a hotel out there in Vegas? Yeah.
Yes, I am, but not on the strip. not on the strip. I'm a little off the strip a little bit in a little quieter place.
What was the conversation like with Coach Belichick when you told him you were leaving?
Yeah, that was, that was a very important conversation for me. And Bill and I think, have a deep respect for one another. I'm certainly grateful for all the time that I've spent there and everything that he's done for me and my family. Not easy conversations to have. I knew it would take a special place for me to leave where I was at. And I communicated that with Bill, with Mr. Kraft. And again, those were emotional conversations, and rightfully so. We spent a lot of time together. They've done so much for me in my career. And I'm super grateful for the time that I spent there.
Can you answer this question honestly? Did the Patriots try to trade for Derek Carr last season?
I know nothing about any of that.
Oh, that's the right answer, but it just shows how much you love Derek Carr.
Yeah. Derek, look, I'm excited about this. Derek and I had a chance to talk the other day, had a great conversation. I've competed against him a number of times in his career. He's done a lot of great things in this league, took this team to the playoffs, was super competitive all year long. And, now it's exciting to join forces here and see what we can do to put the best group around him.
I love the nucleus there. I mean, you got your quarterback, you got your running back, you got your tight end. I love Crosby, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How close do you feel? You're in a very, very competitive division here. But
yeah, no question. Look, we have good players. And, in the National Football League, every year there's change. Every year there's roster construction that needs to take place. And this will be no different for us. I'm excited to partner with Dave Ziegler and in that process and try to improve this football team in every way that we can. But there's no doubt that they had a successful season. It didn't finish the way that anybody, wants to finish. It happens for one of us out of 32. But getting to the postseason, four guys in the Pro Bowl here coming up this week. There's definitely some talented players on this team that we're going to get to know. And we're looking forward to that process.
Best day you ever had as a member of the Patriots was what?
Oh boy. My favorite memory was probably the 14 Super Bowl against Seattle. And we were fortunate, so blessed to have so many great memories there. I think if there was one particular day that I might have enjoyed more than the rest, it was the first time that we had actually won a Super Bowl where I had children. And, my two oldest kids were at the game and got to share in that celebration on the field afterwards with my wife, my father. So, it was a 10-year gap. In terms of us being able to win one of those and to realize that again and live through that with your family and your children, it was pretty special.
Yesterday was the anniversary of the Malcolm Butler interception.
Was it? Yeah. I didn't even know that. That's pretty cool.
I was at the goalpost because I'm handing out the trophy right after the game, and I'm thinking as Russ goes back, because I'm watching Marshawn Lynch. Because I'm just saying, I'm going to watch. I had my phone out. I'm going to watch Marshawn Lynch go right in for a touchdown here. And then all of a sudden, he didn't get it. Russ goes back, and I go, oh, bleep. And then I didn't know Malcolm had the interception.
Yeah. None of us did. None of us did. I couldn't tell what happened. I knew there was a big cheer, and from where we were sitting, we were over there on the bench at the 50-yard line, and it was kind of like, it's down here to the left and you're not sure. Nobody had any idea what happened. There was just a big roar. And then we were grateful that Malcolm made that incredible play.
He brought it up 2 days after the Super Bowl when we had him on. And he said Bill walked him through that play.
Yeah.
Wednesday of Super Bowl week.
Yep. Yep. It happened multiple times, actually. I remember, we practiced those types of situations many times. And I think there was a lot of guys because Seattle had used that concept with multiple personnel groupings and formations and so on. So there was a lot of our defensive players that I think were prepped and ready for the type of play that was. And we're just fortunate that Malcolm, made such a great play on the ball.
What would you have called in that situation?
I don't know. That's a great question, you know, because hindsight's always 20/20. You know, and I think you, what you would call there is the play you had the most confidence in. When I was in that similar situation, in the Atlanta Super Bowl a couple years later, we used our 2-point plays. And so, you know, you practice those for those types of situations. You don't always have to use a 2-point play on, you know, on a 2-point play. You can use it at the 1 or 2 yard line in a critical situation. And so, that's what we had used in 16, in a similar scenario, when we found ourselves in that spot.
Did you ever take it personally when Tom changed your play?
No,
never.
No, he had, well, I might've thought mine was better at times, but you know, we knew that he understood and had a tremendous grasp on everything he did. And so whenever that happened, he always had a good reason for doing so.
If I told you a month ago that Brady was going to be retired, what would you have said?
I would have been surprised. You know, obviously he had such a tremendous season this year. I mean, statistically and otherwise, and took his team to the postseason and had a chance to make another run. He's such a competitive guy, and I've always felt like, you know, if Tom was playing at a high level, which obviously he was this year, that he would probably keep playing. I think we all kind of, you know, all of us that have been around him and gotten to know him so well, probably assumed he would play until he just couldn't do it anymore. And so when I talked to him the other night and, you know, heard the news, it was kind of shocking, you know, and, such an important and, you know, integral part to the league's history, and especially the last 22, 23 years here. I mean, he's kind of been a mainstay in all those important conversations about who's going to win the Super Bowl and what teams are, you know, really in it and all that. And, you know, we'll miss him. I'm sure we will as a league. I'll miss him in terms of seeing him play as a former coach of his, and look forward to his next chapter. I'm sure it's going to be successful, whatever he chooses to do.
You were 32, I think, when you got the Broncos job. I think you're now 45. What's the difference between Josh McDaniels at 32 as a head coach and Josh McDaniels at 45?
Yeah, I don't think I had much wisdom then. You know, I knew a little football. I've been around, you know, a good organization for 8 years and had learned some things about, you know, what my job entailed there and tried to do it to the best of my ability, but really learned a lot about, you know, the important parts to each area of the organization, how much people need your support, need your impact on a daily basis, and how much they value that in their contribution and understanding how they fit into the bigger picture. And I think I have a much different perspective on things now. I have 4 kids. I've been a parent for a lot longer now than I was then. And I think I've just grown in so many ways from that failure and tried to implement that in the day-to-day process that I've used as a coach, you know, in the last 10 to 12 years. So I'm thankful for the opportunity to try it again.
All right. Help me understand this. Raiders owner Mark Davis said that you told him that Tom Brady fumbled on the tuck rule play.
I had to play the other side of the fence when I came here. I saw the facility and I said, the first thing I'm going to say to break the ice is that it was a fumble. And so I felt like I ingratiated myself to him pretty well right off the bat.
If you were still in New England and you saw Mark Davis,
it probably wouldn't have been a fumble.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
I'm part of Raider Nation now, so it was a fumble.
Well, congrats on this, and we appreciate your time, Josh. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Dan. Appreciate it.
That's Josh McDaniels. He is the new head coach of your Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah, we always wonder what coaches do when they take another job and they got all that gear. Like, you just have a yard sale? Shouldn't the NFL do yard sales?
Oh, yeah, for charity?
Yes. It's always about the kids. That you just send all your, like Sean Payton sends, by the way, Sean Payton sent his visor. We have it in the studio. This was game used. That's his last New Orleans Saints visor.
The last visor.
The last visor. Tonight on the NFL Network, the last visor, the Sean Payton story. Yeah, he sent it in, autographed it, and man of his word. Yeah, Paulie.
But Josh McDaniel probably holds on to his Patriot gear just in case after.
Wow.
Well, the Colts thing.
Wow.
Too soon?
Yeah.
He's off the air now.
Yeah, it's a shot.
Well, I mean, I think he's set for the Raiders.
Yeah.
If he threw all out his Colts, you know.
Now, I was told that they tried to trade for Derek Carr.
Wow.
Yeah, in New England. That's why he's like, I don't know anything about that. No, you're out of the building. You already acknowledged that the tuck rule was a fumble. Can't burn Bill, though. Man. Hey, Josh McDaniel said on the Dan Patrick Show, you guys tried to trade for Derek Carr, coach? I'm on to preseason. I don't have anything else to say. Any other questions? You upset that Tom didn't acknowledge the Patriots? I'm on to preseason. Good stuff. Let me see. Kyle in Pittsburgh joins us. Kyle, good job getting Josh McDaniels on there, Fritzy.
Thanks.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, Kyle.
Just wondering if the MVP for the NFL balloting is complete.
Yes.
If not, oh, okay. Yeah. I was just wondering if Brady's retirement would have an effect on how people would vote.
No, it's a regular season award, Kyle. Thanks for the phone call. But maybe it would if you were, well, who would be the MVP? Because I can say Joe Burrow certainly would have a strong case. You go from four wins and you're going to the Super Bowl. If he would win the Super Bowl, if the vote was Monday morning, would Joe Burrow be the MVP if the Bengals won? Probably so. But that's why you have an MVP for the Super Bowl, and that's why you have a regular season MVP. Yes, Marvin?
Oh, no, I didn't say anything. I just agreed with you completely.
Oh.
I didn't have anything to say.
Okay.
I think I was raising the roof.
Oh.
I wasn't raising my hand to say anything.
Oh. Fritzy is in charge of not saying anything.
Oh, come on.
What?
See, you give a compliment, and I start getting Josh McDaniels. Four seconds later, they got to take a shot.
Marvin is stealing your bit. Like, getting on the air, not saying anything.
See, that's what makes Paulie. He can handle those situations. Even if you thought he was raising his hand, he always has something in his pocket to say. He'll never say, I didn't raise my hand. I don't know why you called.
Todd, you always have something to say. Always.
It doesn't necessarily help the show, and it kind of puts you in
except
a left turn.
Except for when I go to you, and you're like, I
don't know where the poll question is. I'm booking guests. I got all kinds of other stuff going on. See, Todd, that's not necessary.
Todd in Ohio. I'm
going to the periodontist later. Thanks.
It's Todd in Ohio. Hi, Todd.
Hey, DP.
Hi,
Super
Todd.
Pumped you took my call.
Yeah, what's
you
on your mind?
You stole me from Cowherd, by the way. You stole me.
Oh.
I've been a listener for about a year now. And so I'm in the shower the other day, and I'm singing Stat of the Day. Jingle just came out, and my wife says, "What the hell is Stat of the Day?" And I was like, "Hey, you know what? Scram, mind your business. I'm in the shower here."
Scram.
She's in trouble.
Oh, let me hear how it sounded. Let me hear how it sounded, Todd.
Stat of the day, pop, pop.
I like it.
But she's in trouble. She's going to make a run at Jimmy G, man. she nicknamed him something else. I won't say it on air, but. Jimmy G, you kind of get my flow there, but anyway.
Well, thank you, Todd. Thank you for calling in.
A little loose at the end.
Yeah. Loose in turn three. Yeah. Singing Saturday. You can listen to Colin and this show, you know. Like, we're not at the same time. We're not competitors. Nathan in Los Angeles. Hi, Nate. What's on your mind today?
Dan, it's good to talk to you again. So, my question is, does the NFL have a provision, or what is the nature of their provision to force Stephen Ross out if it comes to that, a la what the NBA was able to do with Sterling and what Major League Baseball was able to do with Marchand years ago? Do they have a provision like that, and what would it take in order to invoke such a thing?
Probably, thank you, Nate, probably the owners would vote. And, you know, because the commissioner works for the owners, but I would think in a situation like this, I don't think that the commissioner has that kind of autonomy. But I would think if the owners or you have a group of owners who make all the decisions. You know, it might go to something like that. You got it, Pauling?
Yeah, Section 8.13 of the NFL's Constitution and Bylaws. The commissioner can determine if an owner of a team has been guilty of conduct detrimental to the welfare of the league or professional football as a whole. Based off that determination, the commissioner can issue fines, censures, draft picks, whatever, or in extreme cases, could push for a vote of the other owners to force that owner to sell. The commissioner's vote, which he would oversee, the executive committee, they would need a three-quarters vote of the owners or the executive committee, depending on how they look at it.
Okay. Yeah, so it would come down to a vote, and you'd have to have 75% of the owners. But look, that's a long way away, long way away. I don't know if, you know, this part of the story with Brian Flores gets to trial, becomes part of it. It feels like it's separate, even though he's suing the Dolphins. I guess wrongful termination here. The fact that you wanted me to lose, I won games and you fired me, and then you add the $100,000 allegedly that you're paying me to lose. Oh, man. The NFL, the gift that keeps on giving.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.